up here. I hope that conversation was a blessing to you and you got to know someone you didn't before. What we do in this space and time at our gathering now is really just engage the Word of God. And really what we believe as Christians and why we gather is to understand deeper who Jesus is, who God is, and what He has in store for our lives. Where do we find meaning and purpose and value? And how we've been doing that is walking through a variety of scriptures these past month. And we've been looking at a theme which is really the vision and mission of God in this world, which is to bring restoration. And we've been looking at how does God restore this world? And so we began by asking, well, how does God restore a relationship with us and Himself? How does God restore a relationship with us and who we are? How does God restore a relationship with others? And tonight we're going to be examining how does God restore our relationship with creation? We all have a relationship with creation. So when I think of creation, there's a variety of things I think of, but I think primarily in different demographics of what God has made. And as we look at this relationship of what God has made and how we relate to it, I really want to address four questions tonight. What is our relationship to creation? What is broken in this relationship? How do we bring restoration? And then how do we practice recreation? That's the direction we're going tonight. So what is our relationship to creation? When I think of God's creation, my mind is absolutely blown. Because we as humans, we are still yet to fully fathom the depths of the cosmos. Doesn't that just blow your mind? Like what God has created in this world, we as humans still have not fully discovered. We haven't even discovered all the living elements in this world. We haven't even went to the depths of the sea. We're constantly finding new organisms. So our relationship to creation is, first of all, this reality that it is beyond us. It is vast. It is something that's incomprehensible. And yet at the same time, our understanding of creation is incredibly intimate as well. We relate to all these created things in this world in our day-to-day basis. And so we see that creation references the world and the sky and the stars, but it also references animals and plants and even our relationship to one another. And so God created the world, which we read in Genesis. Then what happens? What does God say humanity's relationship with creation is supposed to look like? Well, it tells us this in Genesis 1, 26 to 28. It says, God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may do what? Rule over the fish of the sea, fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that are along the ground. And then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and every living creature that moves on the ground. And so God has this vision that humanity has a role and responsibility to have dominion over all of creation. And in fact, part of what it means to be created in the image of God, part of what it means to be image bearers, is to take on this responsibility to rule and reign over creation. And so, what are some examples? What are some practical things we do in our day-to-day lives that bring about this restoration and renewal and dominion over creation? How does this function on a day-to-day basis? Here's a conversation piece. How do we fulfill this role of having dominion over creation? Pardon? We got to eat, right? So to eat, we garden, we cut up vegetables, we make fire to cook, right? We build homes, we build infrastructures. We grow trees, yeah. We build dams, yeah, hydro dams, we create electricity.
We use it for our benefit.
Yeah, we use it for our benefit, for the good, the flourishing of humanity. Yeah.
We use it to create new creatures.
Yeah, we use it to create new creativity. Dale, you're getting way ahead of the game. You're too smart, man. We use it to bring about new creation. So this relationship we have with creation is this role and responsibility to take what God has created and harness it and turn it into systems and structures to bring about human flourishing. And so I've talked to some people when they read the Genesis story and they see that the early humans were in the garden and they're just enjoying paradise, that it's almost like they're just relaxing on a beach, drinking some margaritas, enjoying life with no responsibilities in the world. Is that what the Genesis account is like? No, they are actually thrown into a wilderness, and they are called to take and harness all the full potential and bring about what could be and create culture and create beauty and to create homes and cultures and societies. And so this is really the vision of humanity. And so God, it says, put them in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. That's the call that humanity has. That's our role and responsibility in our relationship to creation, is to work it and to take care of it. And yet we know that relationship is drastically broken, is it not? That relationship is drastically broken. What is broken in that relationship? Well, there's a few things that I can think of. The text in Genesis begins to tell us the reason why. Humans are created in this garden. They began to rebel against the purposes of God. They began to take what God desired from them and completely act selfishly in nature now. And this is the result of humans' rebellion against God. It says, cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat food. From it all the days of your life, it will produce thorns and thistles for you, and it will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. From dust you are, and to dust you will return. And really, it's this vision that all the production that humanity now has to bring about is going to cause hurt and pain and toil and suffering, and all the good that God intended to bring beauty and creativity to this world is now going to be tarnished by the sinfulness of humanity. And we see this in so many forms and fashions. Romans says it like this from Paul. He says, for creation was subjected to futility, not willing, but because of him who subjected it. In other words, human brought about futility. And in hope that his creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom for the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been doing what? It's been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And this groaning of creation is the result of humanity. And so we as humans were supposed to have dominion over creation, to rule and be responsible, to bring about goodness, but instead we as humans bring about destruction. We as humans were supposed to have a stewardship over creation, but instead we act selfishly and take more than we need. We as humans are supposed to have creativity over creation, but instead we function in corruption. And we as humans are supposed to worship God in all that we do, but instead it turns to workaholism. And so you see how creation itself and our relationship to creation is absolutely twisted and skewed and tarnished because of sin. This is the result of sinful, selfish human beings. And we see this in so many forms and fashions of this world. We see anything from the abuse of creation to the abuse of humanity. It blows my mind. In my former context, we worked with an organization called International Justice Mission. And it's a fascinating organization, and they worked with so many different workforces around the world, and they really deal with sex trafficking, but the primary thing they also deal with is actually forced labor. Now, God created work so that we could be creative, we could develop new things, we could enjoy with passion. But what we as humans have done with turned into work, especially forced labor, is now we put debts on people that they need to pay off just to find freedom. And even in our own jobs, you may feel like that at times, where we can be so drawn and driven by our bosses and our workforce that just burn us out to the ground. We know that something is broken. We know that something is wrong in our relationship to this world. And so how do we bring about restoration then? How do we bring about restoration? What does a renewed world look like? Well, there's a man named Billy Graham who answered this question, and he's a very interesting person to figure. Who here knows who that is? Billy Graham was sort of a very famous preacher a while ago, and he was living at a time in sort of the 50s, 60s, and 70s of America where the mentality of the church was that we don't really have to worry about this creation because one day it's all just going to blow up and exist and God's going to make a new world, right? And so he had to really counteract against this worldview that the Christians had, especially in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, that we don't have to care about this world because one day God is going to make a new one. But he says this to counteract that thought. He says, why should we be concerned about the environment? It isn't just because of the dangers we face from pollution and climate change and other environmental problems, although those are serious. He says, for Christians, the issue is much deeper. We know that God created the world and it belongs to him, not us. Because of this, we are only stewards or trustees of God's creation, and we aren't to abuse it or neglect it. The Bible says, the earth is the Lord and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. And when we fail to see the world as God's creation, we will end up abusing it. Selfishness and greed take over, and we end up not caring about the environment or the problems that we're creating for future generations. Isn't that a key thought for us to remember? So often we function in a day-to-day basis where it doesn't matter what our actions accomplish or what we do, we simply can exist without the reality of caring for this world. And this next quote I'm going to give you is from a guy named N.T. Wright, and he's one of the top New Testament scholars probably in the last 100 years. And he gives us some beautiful insight, too, when we neglect this call to restore this relationship with creation. He says this. He says, God builds God's kingdom, but God ordered his world in such a way that his own work within that world takes place, not least through the human beings who reflect his image. He has enlisted us to act as his stewards in the project of creation. Through the work of Jesus and the power of the Spirit, he equips humans to help. The objection about us trying to build God's kingdom by our own efforts, though it seems humble and pious, can actually be a way of hiding from responsibility, of keeping one's head down when the boss is looking for volunteers. And it's this sort of this picture. You guys have probably been in a work environment where, like, your boss is looking for someone to do something and everyone's sort of hiding in the corner so they don't have any responsibility. Anyone ever seen that before? This is what N.T. Wright is saying we as the church can do sometimes. We sort of say, like, oh, like, God wants us to restore this part of creation. God wants to work towards this mission of environmentalism. God wants to restore our relationship with work. But we sort of hide in the corner and we say, it's not our responsibility. God's going to do it. God's going to figure it out in the end. Where N.T. Wright's like, well, it's sort of like bowing your head when your boss is actually looking for people to complete the project. And so we have this tarnished relationship with creation, and we have this purpose and mission that God longs for us to bring restoration. Now, there's a lot of directions I could go from this point. We could go down the route of just talking about environmentalism, creation care, all important topics, but I really want to focus on what this means for us in our understanding of vocation. Because the first call of Genesis 1 was the vocation of humanity, what they were supposed to do in their relationship with the world. And so how do we practice this aspect of recreation? So when I say the word recreation, what are some of the things that come to mind? Snowboarding, hiking, swimming, hockey, yeah. Just fill in time, yeah. Activity, right? Recreation is sort of like this relaxing thing, sort of like time off. We have this perspective that it's like taking a hike, going on a picnic. But really, this phrase of recreation in our culture really comes back to a theological vision of the Christian worldview of recreation. And recreation is actually quite a deep, substantive concept throughout Scripture. And so think of this. When we read Genesis, we read that God created the world. And what's fascinating is when we look to the gospel accounts of understanding who Jesus is, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they all begin very unique ways. But John begins by saying what? Does anyone know? In the beginning. And what John is telling us in his gospel is he's making a new recreation story through the lens of Jesus. Even the Gospel of Matthew, which we're going to be jumping into in a few weeks, the Gospel of Matthew begins, some would say, is the most boring book of the Bible, but how does the Gospel of Matthew begin? The genealogy is the list of names, right? But what Matthew is saying through the genealogy is he's giving us a new Genesis, a beginning of the story of Jesus. And what the story of Jesus tells us is that God is bringing about recreation to the cosmos and to our lives. And we, as the church, now partner in that recreation. And so even the end of the book, if you're not familiar with Scripture, the Bible begins with a book called Genesis and it ends with a book called Revelation. The storyline of who Jesus is and what he's done and what he's going to accomplish. And the end of Revelation, Jesus says, "Behold, I am making all things new." Now, there's two Greek words here for new that we could understand. The Greek language has a word called neos and kainos. And both of those mean new, but in very different nuances. So neos is like a brand new thing. So when you buy a car and you drive it off the lot and it doesn't have any mileage, that's like a brand new car. That's a neos Greek word, okay? But when you have a kainos Greek car, you're talking about a car that you've driven for a while, but then maybe you got some reupholstery, a repaint job, the engine fixed, and you say it's almost like it's new again, right? The word that Revelation 21 is talking about is a kainos newness. In other words, it's this created world that God is renewing and restoring it to its original purposes. See, some people think that God created this world and that one day it's just going to not exist or it's going to be a brand new heavens and brand new earth. But what we're learning here is that God is actually restoring and renewing this world and calling humans to be a part of that project. And so that means that recreation isn't just this future aspiration. It's actually something we're called to practice in the here and now. We here and now are part of God's work of recreation. And that's why even when we come to faith in Jesus, there's this language that we are born again. That we are born into an entire new being. There's a new beginning to our story. We have a second in the beginning, not just our birthday, but our celebration of coming to Christ. And so as God restores us, he's calling us to bring restoration to the world around us. And so For I just want to focus then on what does it mean to bring about recreation and to practice recreation. This is where I want to get more practical in this discussion. How do we practice recreation then? If our relationship with creation is broken and fractured in the way that we treat the world and the way that we treat one another and the way that we treat our work, how do we experience recreation? Well, the first thing we get to do and we have the joy of doing is we get to rest in God's work. Isn't that a beautiful thing? That means we don't have to worry about controlling everything because God sustains his creation. Who knows that sleep is a theological activity? Sleep is deeply theological. Because when we go to bed at night, guess what happens? We have absolutely no control over anything that goes on. When we sleep, we are literally declaring to God that you are in control and we are not. And guess what? God has literally formed that rhythm to show our limitation as human beings, is that we are not machines to run forever. I mean, I've stayed awake for 3 days and three nights in a row. Has anyone come close to that? I think you're sort of legally insane when you get to that perspective, but we see it just destroys us. We as humans have an absolute limitation and a necessity to sleep. And part of that is this realization that we cannot control everything. And so we rest in God's work because we know that God is working when we are not. We know that God is in control when we are not. And we don't have to worry about the world falling apart while we rest. Therefore, our calling then is to work and to rest and recreate in a way that celebrates who God is in his sovereignty and his sustainability. So we rest in God's work, realizing we have boundaries, we have limitations, we have things that we can't accomplish in our own strength, in our own power, in our own time. That's a practice of recreation. Another one is that we're allowed to work, rest, create, and play. Anyone here ever feel guilty for taking time off? That was a struggle I had for a lot of my life, is you feel guilty for taking time off because a lot of our human value, a lot of how we identify ourselves, a lot of the way we find worth and purpose is through our work. And so when we take that out of our lives, when we take a break, when we take a rest, all of a sudden we're having an identity crisis. All of a sudden we're having a question of what is my purpose? We start to say, like, what is my value if I'm not accomplishing anything? What am I doing if I'm not bringing about something? And yet, this beautiful reality of who God is then now allows us to approach our work not needing validation, not needing security. We can truly work unto God as worship because our value and our worth and our purpose is not entirely attached to it. Which then gives us the freedom to rest and to enjoy rest and to actually work with creativity and not just obligation and to even play and to have fun and find recreation in of ourselves. Why? Because we can rest and play knowing that God will bring restoration in and through us, but still in his power and his strength. How else do we practice recreation? We value beauty. This is fascinating to me. When we think about this reality for a second, does it blow your mind that we're all not just looking in black and white right now? Like, why did God create color? Have you ever asked that question? Like, why did God create color? What is the purpose of color? Why do we see beyond black and white? It's because beauty to God is not unnecessary. God didn't just make this utilitarian world. He wasn't just concerned with functionality. Beauty is actually important to God. Beauty is a value to God. Beauty is something we're supposed to pursue, and we're supposed to experience artistry and creativity, and we're supposed to stimulate delight and amazement and wonder. God gave us these senses to enjoy beauty. And so part of practicing recreation then is to value beauty for what it is and to create beauty for what it is. See, this is much more than just about environmentalism. This is much more than just even about our vocation. This is about caring for the incomplete environment that we humans exist in. Whether that's social, intellectual, emotional, it's creating beauty in those spaces. And so if beauty is important to God, it should be important to us also. And I'll throw a little plug in. I've made a call out for some Advent art in this next season. So if you're an artist or a painter, please connect to me about creating some art for this next season of ours. See, the role of the church then is to be part of the cultural making of beauty. Last thing I want to talk about with practicing recreation is that our work can actually be done as worship when we practice recreation. We can enter into our work not fearing our job. We can enter into work not fearing our boss or our paycheck or our credibility or reputation because we understand that our value and worth is in God. We can rest and find Sabbath and renewal, not fearing that somehow God is not in control. We can creatively bring what God has instructed us to bring about, not depending on whether people reject our creation, but simply doing it out of love and aspiration to God. And we can rest and we can work and we can worship. Why? Because we don't have to fall to the idolatry of control. We don't have to fall to the idolatry of productivity. We don't have to fall to the idolatry of restlessness. We don't have to fall to the idolatry of validation. We can simply use our work as worship. And so let me close by saying this. Each and every one of us have a different fracture and brokenness to the relationship of creation around us. Whether that's workaholism, whether that's a disdain or a discare for the culture and the places around us, whether that's abusing the spaces and context to which God has placed us in. But the way that we practice recreation is what brings about restoration to us and to the world around us. And just in response to that, I just want to have a closing prayer for us together. And so I'm going to invite you just to stand for this, and I'm going to invite you to just gather with me in praying this together, just in an admission of who God is. And so I'm going to read what's written in black and then what's written in white. I'm going to invite you just to read and pray together. Just to free yourself from these things and to celebrate who God is. And so God is creator. Therefore, God is sustainer. Therefore, amen. God is provider. Therefore, God is Redeemer, therefore. Amen. Let's pray together. Gracious God, you have gifted us with this world. We did nothing to earn our place in this environment, in this creation. You have gifted us with beauty and animals and landscapes and the sea, rolling plains and hills and sunsets and the beauty of the moon. We look to the cosmos and we see your creative glory. You have given us all these things as gifts, and yet, Lord, we misuse them. We abuse them. We take advantage of these gifts. Lord, we live in selfishness. We live in greed. We live in lust. We live asking what is best for me, not best for the other. We ask that you would just speak to our hearts and our minds this evening. And you reveal to us, Lord, how we need to restore this relationship. Lord, you have given us a path forward, a path of recreation. And we thank you that you are a God who is working all things for good. You are God who is making all things new. You are God who is restoring and reconciling all things to yourself. And you invite us to partner with you in that mission. And you call us, as the Gospel of Mark says, we're called to preach the good news to all of creation. Because as Romans 8 reminds us, all of creation is groaning right now. We see it in the environments around us. We see it in the way that forest fires have hit. We see it in the way that tsunamis have happened. We see it in the way of drastic flooding. We see it in the way even with food struggles and food scarcity. We see it through sickness and disease spread. And Lord, all these things can so easily overwhelm us. All these things are so out of our control. And yet we trust that you are bringing about all things to become new, to recreate for everything we long for and everything this world is intended to be. And we pray that you would give us wisdom and discernment and direction in how to partner you with you in that work. So, Lord, we long for things to be made right. May it start here and now with us to bring about recreation for our good and for your glory, we pray. Amen.